Yates.
Thank you, Aaron. Good morning.
Good morning.
To everyone who is live streaming, I want to wish you a good morning and hope that if you are ill, that you're feeling better soon and that you're able to gather together with us again. And to those who are isolated and who are tuning in, I hope that you are feeling the Lord blessing you in your life and in your effort to take the time this morning to tune in. I do have some thoughts. I don't know that I'm going to preach very long this morning. I do have some thoughts that I want to share. They've been on my mind throughout this week, throughout last week, and yesterday, and this morning as I was kind of contemplating my sermon, I thought, you know, I'd like to have some sort of a visual here to kind of help help to bring our thoughts in. And so I was thinking, what sort of a visual can I do? And so I got something I want to do here, and I'll need just a little bit of audience participation. But I have here a rope. This is a kind of thick rope. I was looking in my house, and I was like, man, I used to have more rope than this. I don't know where it's at. And then all I had was either this or I had some paracord was all I had. So I spent some time this last weekend. I was in a testing process, and part of this testing process, they gave us a little bit of time, and they taught us, and some of them, they taught us some things. And one of the things that they did is they gave 10 minutes, and they started teaching us some knots. And they said, all right, we're going to give this group, each of you is going to learn a knot, and you're going to learn it in 5 minutes, and then you have to teach it to everybody else, and tomorrow we're going to test you on it. And so we learned some knots. And so I thought it was kind of fun. I like tying some knots and all that. And so this is one of the knots I really like. This is kind of a cool knot gauge. You know what that knot is? You don't know what it is? You think you could replicate it just by looking at it? This is a pretty cool, probably not. That was funny, come on. Uncle Joel, do you know what this knot is? If you don't know what this knot is, then I've failed here in what I want to try to show.
You got to give up on the new farm, man. I have been out of the game.
All right, Zach. Do you know what this knot is? It's a butterfly. All right, a butterfly knot. Do you know the butterfly knot, Joel?
I haven't used it in a long
time. All right. We'll try one more, and then I'll finish with my point here. This one takes a little bit more time to do right. And this one took a while. And I do this while I had one of the guys there, my friend, kind of yelling at me, you got to do it faster. So let's see here. I'm going to go under. I'm going to go through here. Zach, you figuring this one out already? Don't say it yet. Maybe Uncle Joel knows what it is. Logan, do you know what this knot is?
Noose.
This is not a noose. Something to kill someone with. Easton, do you know what this knot is? Uncle Joel, do you know what this knot is?
Figure eight.
Not just figure eight. What is it, Nate?
Figure eight
on
a
bike?
No.
Figure eight follow through. Yeah. Figure eight follow through. All right. You know why I kept asking Joel was because Uncle Joel was the one we'd go rappelling or stuff like that, and he always knew the knots. I know they weren't. Do you know this one? Okay. That's a bowline. All right, one out of three ain't bad. Yeah, well, evidently there's something special about the follow on it. I don't know. Zach, what's so special about that? Okay, give you a base. See, you know more than me. I just had like a 10-minute thing. It said learn it and have to do it. And we had five different knots we had to do. All right. See, that was entertaining. I'm sorry, Uncle Joel. I didn't mean to humble you like that.
Good to be humble.
See, now I question all those years we go rappelling and all that. And you know what I learned in this thing was when we were doing some stuff, they said, if you don't know the knot, just tie a lot. Right? So they just do all, and I'm thinking that's probably what we were doing. Giving us a good object lesson on faith. Oh. All right. Now I've got the blood pumping in all of us. We're ready. Turn to Isaiah chapter 40. And we're going to start here in verse 28. And maybe I can help to draw in your thoughts on kind of the goofiness that we just went through. I think there's a point. Spend some time thinking about it. If I were to ask people, several people here, I'm sure, if I would say, well, what's your favorite scripture? A lot of you would probably say, let's go to Isaiah chapter 40, and we're going to read 28 through 31 is what they would say, right? We know this verse, probably most of us, you know, it says that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We know this. This is a wonderful scripture. And we'll read all of it eventually. But, you know, there were some things that I wanted to consider about this particular reading. And as it pertains to the way that we consider the Lord and the way that we consider our relationship with Him. And I hope that when I'm done with this sermon, that you find yourself considering how you look at your relationship with the Lord and what it means to you. I'll tell you that, so why is this scripture in my mind? You know, last week I was in this two-day brutal process that this fire department put me through to test me. And the end of Saturday, you know, I went home and my back was killing me and I was just exhausted and tired, and people texting me, how's it going, you know, and Brother Bob Hedrick texted me, how's it going? I said, oh, I feel like I've been brutalized today. And I know, because I know the people running this program, I've worked with them for years as a police officer, I know that tomorrow's going to be even worse. And he sends me a scripture, and he says, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 to 31, you know, that he gives strength to those who are weary. Well, I found myself considering that, and I want to start right here, and if you're there, we're just going to read verse 28 only. And it says this, it says, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. I found myself considering this particular scripture, and I started looking in my way of studying and considering things. And I look at that word, it says, hast thou not known? You know, there's this question the Lord is asking. And he says, have you not known? So I look at that word known, you know, in that ancient Hebrew, it meant to know. Okay. It says to ascertain by seeing. Have you not seen? He's asking the people, he's saying, you know, and you look farther in this Hebrew word and it says that, you know, that word was also meant to be recognized, recognition. Have you not recognized? I decided I would look that a little bit more because I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. You're not recognized. So I looked it up here in the Webster's Dictionary. You know, this word recognize, to recollect or recover the knowledge of, either with an avowal of that knowledge or not. It says, we recognize a person at a distance when we recollect that we've seen him before or that we've formerly known him. We recognize his features. We recognize his voice. You know, I found myself thinking about that. You know, have you not recognized the Lord? Seen him before? You know, I pulled out this rope and I tied some things because I knew if I asked some of these boys on the front row, they were not going to know what it was that I tied. Why? Because they're stupid? No. Because they've never seen it before. Right? They've never seen it before. That butterfly one, you know, I showed it and Zach knew it right away. Why? Because as soon as they tell you what the name is and you look at it, it looks like a butterfly. Right? And so now, hopefully, you know, one of you guys sees it, you're never going to forget it. Because I recognize what that is, this knot that's a loop and it's got two butterfly wings on it. I can see it, right? As soon as I recognize what it is, I recognize its features and everything, and I understand that. You know, so here the Lord, He asked the people, have you not known? Have you not seen? Do you not recognize me? Have you seen me before? Have you seen how I work? Have you seen when I've done those mighty things? You know, we're going to read it near the end of my sermon, but you know, this is in a response to verse 27. To verse 27, when the Lord is answering the thoughts that are upon the heart of the people, when they're saying, where is God? And He says, haven't you seen me? You know, I hope that you are looking in your life, no matter where you're at in your life, you are looking for God as He is working and moving, because I guarantee that if your heart is toward Him, He is working toward you. That He is making effort to be there and be present and to be seen in your life. I hope that, you know, I use this word recognize, and I just talked about the fact that these guys couldn't recognize it because they never knew. And so I want to encourage us to remember that we help people recognize God by telling Him how He's worked in our life, right? It's important that we consider these things. So it goes on, it says, have you not known? Have you not seen? Have you not recognized me? Hast thou not heard? You know, this word heard, to hear, but it has this extra word in it, in this understanding, in this Hebrew word that they used. It wasn't just to hear something, it says to hear intelligently. Often with the implication of attention and obedience. Have you not heard? Have you not heard as the Lord spoke? Have you not heard as He reached out to you and He whispered to your heart? Have you not heard when He speaks through His servants, when there's a song that is an answer to where you're at? Have you not heard? Have you not paid attention to the Lord as He's starting to speak? You know, the Lord is answering this statement, this frustration by the people, and He says, haven't you seen me? Haven't you heard me? Because the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, does not get tired. He doesn't get tired of hearing you. He doesn't get tired of helping you. He doesn't get tired of being patient with you. He recognizes where you're at and every struggle that you're in. He wants to help you. Have you not seen that? Have you not heard it? He doesn't get weary. And there's no searching. There's no full understanding of what He does. And that's okay. I want to turn to 1 Nephi chapter 1. And I want to read just one verse. And you know, this had to be just an incredibly trying time. In the story of what's going on now, you know, that Lehi and his family, you know, Lehi, he's this prophet, this man of God, and you know, like the Lord had done with so many other prophets there, He sent them to Jerusalem and said, you need to tell the people that if they continue to walk in this sinful way, I'm not going to handle it. I'm not going to deal with it forever. Okay, and I'm not going to let them just continue to profane my name all the time. And so then Lehi goes and he prophesies all these things. And what did the people want to do? They wanted to kill him. The Lord told him, you need to flee for your life. I'm going to take you and your family. I'm going to send you somewhere. But the reason why you have to go is these people are going to kill you. And so they go for a while. And then there was this need that came up. And it wasn't that the Lord didn't know that they were going to need to have the words, the written word of God to go with them before He sent them away. The Lord knew that. But there was a test that was going to be done here. So the Lord told Lehi, He says, you know, I realize that you just fled from this city, from this place, all these people who want to kill you. You've done it, but now I need you to send all of your sons back into danger. And I want you to do this because they need to have this word of God. And so it was a real frustration and a struggle to their mother and their father. You know, Lehi was concerned and afraid. But you know, there was a, you know, as you look in here, and we know the story, right? They went to Laban, and Laban says no, and so then they go and they get all of the gold and all the precious stuff they had left at their house, because they just left with their tents and provisions and all that. They left whatever was there. And so they went and they took all this money and everything. So, well, maybe we can just buy it from Laban. And he stole it from them and sent his armies to kill him. And then, you know, they're trying to figure out what they're going to do. And, you know, we know that eventually Nephi, he goes and he gets the plates and all that. But, you know, and it says that during this time when they made their way back that, you know, their parents were so worried because they were afraid that they had been lost, that they had been destroyed. But then we see in verse 154 and 155 that their mother, she made this statement. In 155, she says this, "I know of a surety that the Lord hath protected my sons and hath delivered them out of the hands of Laban and gave them power whereby they could accomplish the thing which the Lord hath commanded them." You know, this is something that I think oftentimes in our life we struggle as we deal with all of the troubles of life and of work and of families and of the temptations that are around us and all that, and we feel like we just don't have the ability to overcome. I feel like I'm buried in lack of ability. I can't get out from underneath the weight of sin, of temptation, of mistakes, all of those things. But you know, I look at this scripture and it helps me to liken it back to this verse, to this scripture we're reading in Isaiah. You know, she says that the Lord gives power so that we can accomplish the thing that the Lord asks us to. You know, verse 29 here in Isaiah chapter 40, it says, "He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength." We'll back up. Hast thou not known? Have you not seen and have you not recognized? Have you not heard it spoken of? Have you not heard or felt the Lord directing you or His whisper or saying, "I can help you through this"? Even though this seems hopeless, impossible, difficult, give power to help us through those things. You know, this is the Lord who we serve, and we should be acknowledging Him and be looking to see how He's working in our life. He helps us to accomplish the things that He calls us to. Turn two chapters over to 1 Nephi chapter 3. And verse 37. And verse 37 says, and this is Nephi, and he asks the Lord. He says, I want to understand. I want to understand. You gave this vision, this experience to my father, and we know it's the story about the rod of iron and the tree of life and all that. And Nephi says, I just want to know. I want to know this. I want to understand this. And he asks the Lord about it. In verse 37 it says, "For it came to pass that after I desired to know the things my father had seen, and believing that the Lord was able to make them known unto me, wherefore as I sat pondering in my heart, I was caught away in the spirit, yea, to an exceeding high mountain that I had never before seen, upon which I had never before set my foot." And it continues on with this expounding of what it was that the Lord showed Lehi. But you know, I found myself considering this, that you know, we look back here in Isaiah, and this is what the Lord is saying. He says, you know, haven't you known, haven't you heard that I can do all of these things? And really, you know, Nephi says this. He says, you know, I believe that the Lord is able. The Lord is able. I believe that the Lord is able to help me overcome this. I believe that the Lord is able to help me understand this. I believe that the Lord is able to help me in whatever insufficiency I have. I hope that my thoughts aren't too abstract for you, but I hope that you're considering these things, that you know the Lord is able. He's not tired. He doesn't get weary. And I hope that you have looked in your life and seen as He moves and as He works. And I hope that you've looked in the lives of others. You know, one of these things that I have written in my notes here is that, you know, Why did Nephi have this this belief that the Lord was able to accomplish these things for him because he'd seen and because he'd heard. Because, you know, when he maybe hadn't experienced the Lord, he'd heard of other people who had experienced the Lord. You know, went to this thing and they're teaching us how to tie these knots. And, you know, they only taught me one. These knuckleheads who were there with me who were tired and exhausted. And one of these guys, he couldn't tie his shoes, let alone one of these knots, you know, had to teach the rest of us. You know, they had to show me. They had to give me the ability to recognize it again. And, you know, it's important, you know, that we are looking to encourage each other and to call to faith in the Lord, recognizing that he is able to help us in all these things. You know, Nephi gives this example of that, that, you know, he saw that. We look in the book of Enos, and we know that Enos, you know, he was out and he was hunting, and all of a sudden it came upon him that he needed to pour out his soul unto God. And he said, you know, and I did it because my father had taught me to do that. Someone helped me to see and to recognize the Lord. Just wants to think about that. You know, I have in my notes here, so, you know, God is not abstract. He is tangible. He is able to be comprehended as he works and moves. If we're willing to look, if we're willing to consider, if we're willing to examine, you know, in our Sunday school this morning, I thought we were having this really good conversation, and Jared had talked about this man that he works with, who, you know, he's trying and trying and trying to do the right thing, and he's frustrated because life is not the way he wants it to be. And, you know, Jared called him out and said, you know what, you're looking at it wrong. You're looking at it wrong. And I think sometimes we can look at things wrong. That we look to see God move in the way that we want, the way that we expect, rather than being willing to sit back and to help, ask him to open our eyes to see how he's working and moving. I'm not saying my thoughts well right there, but I hope that you consider those things. But I want you to understand this, that God, I said, you know, he's tangible. He's able to be seen. He's able to be comprehended. If we to look for him and to pour out our hearts and to open up our minds and to look to see how he's working and moving. I want to turn to Psalm 34, and it's just one quick verse here, verse 8. So taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And I'm going to read verse 9 in a second. But, you know, taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, so much of what I'm trying to do with my kids when it comes to trying to teach them about the Lord and things like that is I'm just trying to get them to just try. I'm just trying to get them to just be willing to reach out in faith. You know, we're trying to go beyond teaching them how to pray in the repetitious way that they do and to think about what it is that they're praying about. Because if they take the time, and I know this because it's been this way in my life, if we take the time to consider when we pray, to consider what we do, you know, we'll see the Lord as he begins to answer us. Taste and see. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Verse 9 says, oh, fear the Lord, ye saints, for there's no want to them that fear him. There's no want. That word want, you know, it's deficiency. There's no deficiency. You know, if you have an iron deficiency, you're missing an important mineral, something like that, and, you know, you don't get enough of it. You don't get enough of what you need. But, you know, when we fear the Lord, when we trust in him, there's nothing lacking. We don't have any deficiency. Everything is fulfilled. Because the Lord, who we were encouraged to consider how he works and moves, who understands everything, he knows how to bless us. We struggle with this, all of us, from time to time. We need to be reminded. We need to be reminded that the Lord, he doesn't get tired. He hears us. He blesses us. When we continue to try Him and to reach out, He answers. I want to turn real quick to Malachi. Chapter 3. I feel like some of my thoughts this morning are again kind of disjointed or abstract, but I hope that we some of these thoughts are at least priming your mind to consider the Lord and how we look at Him. I want to read verse 16 here, and you know, as I look at this, it, you know, the point that I want to make here is just kind of weird. It doesn't necessarily go along with the theme of what this particular prophecy is. But you know, it says this. It says, "Then they that fear the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and the book of remembrance was written before them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name." And you know, I think that, you know, I think about where I'm at in my life and where I've been and difficulties and the spiritual struggles and the spiritual growth that I've been through and all that. And I got to tell you that if I was going through all of these things right now in my life, or some of the previous difficulties that I've gone through, if I was going through it by myself, if I didn't have the encouragement of my brothers and sisters, people who have been there before saying, "Hang on, I want you to recognize that the Lord's able to work with you through this." They weren't there to call me to remembrance, to speak often one to another, like it says here. You know, I'd be sunk. I'd be sunk. I wouldn't be able to bear the struggles of life if it wasn't for those people who each of you, my brothers and sisters and loved ones, who offer the encouragement and the strength, who teach me how to endure, who teach me to be faithful to the Lord, who teach me to look and to recognize when He's working and moving, even when things don't look the way I think they ought to look. You know, and so I look at this verse here, and it says, "They that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened, and He heard it." He heard what they were saying to each other. He heard what they were doing. I'm probably just using the scripture completely out of context, but bear with me here. These are things that we need to be doing frequently, to talk to one another, to encourage one another through our difficulties, through our trials, through our failures, to encourage one another to look for the Lord as He's working and moving so they can recognize Him, so they can hear Him. A book of remembrance was written before them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name. I don't know if I have any more thoughts on that. I want to turn back to Isaiah and in chapter 40. And I want to go verses, start in verse 12. It says, "Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being His counselor hath taught Him? With whom took He counsel, and instructed Him, and taught Him in the path of judgment, and taught Him understanding, and showeth Him the way of understanding?" You know, it's asking this question to people who are struggling, who are having difficulty. You know, this chapter is a chapter of encouragement to the house of Israel, right? It was a chapter of encouragement from the Lord to the house of Israel. who is saying, you know, I understand you're in difficulty right now, but I want you to look and I want you to see what I'm doing. And you're not going to understand everything right now, but all you have to do is put your trust in me and I'm going to take you where you want to be. And so he asked this question. He says, did anybody else do these things? Did anybody else measure out the waters? Did anybody else spread heaven out? Is anybody else able to comprehend even the smallest particle of dust on the earth? Nobody but me. Has anybody counseled the Lord, taught him wisdom or judgment? No, he understands all of these things. And I have to believe this. I have to believe that the Lord knows how to do all these things. I have to believe, like we read in Mosiah chapter 2, that it's okay that I don't comprehend everything that the Lord comprehends. The Lord doesn't ask me to understand. He asks me to be faithful. He asks me to trust. And in exchange, he does all these things that if I'm willing to stop and look, I can see. I can see that he's working and moving. He doesn't ask me to understand. All he asks me to do is trust. Behold, the nations are a drop in a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles a very little thing. Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. And all nations are to him as nothing, and they are counted unto him as less than nothing, and vanity. To whom will you liken God? And what likeness will you compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over the gold, and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot, and seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. And he talks about the fact that, you know, these things that exist in the world, you know, nations and dominions and all of that stuff, it means nothing to the Lord. It means nothing. He created all of it. He can take it up just as he wants to. A living God, not one that's built out of trees or anything like that, not one that can't hear, not one that can't answer, not one that can't move. Verse 21, have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants are as the grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them as a tent to dwell in, that the princes, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. They shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown. Their stock shall not take up root in the earth, and he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. You know that the Lord sets things up and removes things according to his purpose and his course, and no one can stop it. And this God, who is able to do all of these things, gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Verse 25, he says, to whom will you liken me, or to whom shall I be equal? Lift up your eyes upon high, and behold who hath created these things, and bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. For he that is strong in power, not one faileth. The Lord gives all this description of the things that he is and the things that he's done and his abilities and all that, things that if you look, you can see. And then he addresses us, where we find ourselves so often. And I've been here in this place in my life so many times. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord? And my judgment is passed over from my God. I think one of the things that Satan wins so often in our life is he hits us with overwhelming discouragement. He hits us with overwhelming temptation to want to quit, to want to give up. He hits us with overwhelming temptation to say, you know, like that young man that Jared's talking about, you know, that you're trying to do all this good and there is nothing coming of it. When the reality is, hast thou not known? Haven't you seen? Haven't you recognized that the Lord, he blesses his people? He is there with them and he helps and encourages them. Have you seen him moving in your life before? Are you looking to see how he's doing it now? Or are you finding yourself feeling like the house of Israel here? My way is hid from the Lord. I'm going to finish up. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There's no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Hey, I saw that this last weekend. I was the oldest guy there in this thing that we did. And, you know, I was asking the Lord, not that he would do what I asked him to, not that he would give me this job or anything like that, but just give me strength. And I'm here to tell you that I felt something within me, this ability and this energy that I didn't have because I was exhausted. He gave me strength for a physical thing. But, you know, I find oftentimes that blessing that I had, it gave me encouragement for the spiritual struggles that I oftentimes have. That when I feel like I don't have strength, when I feel that I don't have might, you know, the Lord is able to do that. You know, that word says to them that have no might, that word might, you know, says it's in the sense of effort, but successful. Them that have been putting out effort, but they didn't have success, the Lord is able to give you success in your efforts. They that have no strength, you know, he gives, he increases their powerfulness. By extension, abundance. Numerous. We feel like we have nothing left. You know, the Lord is able to lift us up. But they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. You know, that word strength, it says that they that wait upon the Lord, they'll renew their strength. It says it's from an unused root. I didn't use it very often, but it means to be firm. They'll renew their firmness, their ability to stand strong, their ability to stand firm in the face of all the whirlwind and the temptation and difficulties when we wait upon the Lord. You know, I did a sermon once and I talked about this word wait. You know, they wait upon the Lord. That word wait in this one, it's through the idea of twisting together. Right? Twisting together. That will renew our strength. Mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. I found myself just considering this, and I think probably because of these first verses that I read, is that I've been in these places in my life where I'm in ups and downs. I'm in ups and downs. The Lord continues to bless me, and sometimes I'm seeing it, and sometimes I've just got blinders over my eyes and I get frustrated. And you know, I felt a real direction from the Lord to spend some time this week considering this, to take a few moments and look to see how is God working in my life. Not the way I expected Him to, not completely as I want Him to, but is He there? To consider that, you know, oftentimes we find ourselves pouring out our hearts in prayer and not seeing necessarily the ends of those things. But, you know, the Lord reminded me as I considered it this week, you know, the Lord doesn't get weary of hearing me. He doesn't get weary. He's not like, oh, great, there's Adam again, that guy. Praying again, that same prayer. Oh, Adam needs help again. Adam failed again. No. No, I've recognized that he doesn't do that. He gives power to the faint. And when we feel like we don't have it in us, we put our hearts and our mind to him and we look up and he increases strength. And so, hopefully, in my disjointed, somewhat abstract, thoughts this morning. Hey, hopefully you've grabbed a hold of something that you've looked and that you've seen, that you spend some time maybe this week looking at how the Lord has worked in your life. Encourage someone else with it. Consider the Lord and His ways. Don't get frustrated. Don't feel like the Lord gets tired of hearing you pray. Don't feel like the Lord doesn't see you. This God who created all these things, who counted out all of the stars and called them by name, He looks and He cares about each one of us. He does these things to encourage us, to draw Him and us close together. And so I'd ask you to consider that this day. And I appreciate your time and your attention this morning. Thank you.